Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Finally! A really top-notch Wednesday show here at Catholic Answers Live. We are not mailing it in today. We have two superstar guests for you. And especially as we approach the anniversary of the awful, awful Roe versus Wade decision, we have two of the finest pro-life speakers we have ever met here at Catholic Answers. Second hour, Stephanie Gray Connors from Love Unleashes Life will be here. And we're going to talk about how to make precise pro-life arguments with her. But just making the arguments is only part of being fully pro-life, which is something as Catholics that we hope to be, we want to be. Being fully pro-life also means being able to listen to other people, being able to be in the places where there's the kind of anguish and upset that leads people to make decisions that maybe they may later regret. And our guest this hour is part of, I'm going to say, one of the world's top 10 organizations. I'm putting in the top 10 organizations, the Sisters for Life, Sister Stella Maris, former naval officer, now Sister of Life in Denver, Colorado. Thanks for being with us, Sister.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to talk a bit about pro-life in the trenches, because that is your experience, mm-hmm. is being mm-hmm. right there on the front lines. If you would like to get in on the conversation with Sister Stella Maris, 888-318-7884, the number. Whether you're a Christian person or not, whether you're a pro-life person or not, you are welcome here. 888-318-7884. So maybe we should just start with this. What do you do as a Sister of Life? What is your vocation as a Sister of Life?
Sure. Yeah, as Sisters of Life, we believe that every person is sacred, unique, and unrepeatable. And we know that each person is infinitely loved by God. But going through this world, it's very easy to forget that. So as Sisters of Life, one of our biggest missions is simply to remind the world that in each person in it, that they are known and loved and chosen by God, and that they bear His image. So that's just an important vision that we have when approaching other people. So we share this vision in a lot of ways, but we work with women who are pregnant in difficult situations. We have a convent where we invite pregnant women to live with us. We also do a very precious and beautiful work of journeying with women who are suffering after the experience of abortion to help them experience God's mercy and to live in the freedom that Jesus wants for all of us. And then also here we have in Colorado, we have a mission of evangelization on college campuses, bringing God's plan for life and love to university campuses. And that's working with young women. So we just want every person to know that their lives have value and meaning. And that they are known and loved by God.
888-318-7884, our number. This is one of the things that I think, I know I have fallen into this at times. You can get angry as a pro-life person, and then all of a sudden you're defending the life of the unborn person, but at the same time, you're disrespecting the life of the person you're talking to about it, or to the people you're talking to about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. As I was praying about this call and this time on the radio with you, I was thinking about that. You know, St. Paul tells us that unless we do things with love, we're clanging gongs or clashing cymbals. And so I think it's a daily work of each one of us to have our vision transformed and to have our minds renewed and to look upon each person that I encounter as someone who's loved by God, whose life has meaning, even though I may think what they believe and the way they live and way that they act is way beneath their dignity and I don't agree with it, I can still begin to kind of peel away the levels of hardness that they might have in their heart by just expressing that love to them, by showing that I care about them genuinely. That I don't have an agenda.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's hard for a lot of us who think of ourselves as pro-life, is not to have the agenda rather than the humanity to reach out to other people. And this is something that really is a key central part of the charism of your order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And it's that a lot of the times, I mean, believe me, there's so much work to be done in the way of evangelization and speaking the truth and clarifying the truth over and over again to people. But a lot of our work and the way we do it, approach it, is that we don't think so much as we're fighting against an evil that is abortion, which is an evil, but that we're building up a good. So building the culture of life. And St. John of the Cross said it so beautifully and so well. Where there is not love, put love, and there you will find love. And love is creative. Love looks for the good. Love finds ways and entries into human hearts, and it has a transforming power. And so, yeah, that's some of our attitude. Yeah.
We're talking about being pro-life in the trenches, on the ground, where the rubber meets the road, with Sister Maristella, who does that each day. What do you think say I'm listening now, I'm a person listening now, and I think I would actually, you know, where I am in my station in life, whether I'm a young single person or maybe a very busy person in the middle of life, or I'm a senior, but I would like to do what Sister Maristella is talking about. I would like to foster this culture of life by encounter with other people. What can you tell us about how practically you go about doing that, and that you advise other people to go about doing that?
Yeah, I think it really begins, I think, in a recognition of my own dignity, in my own goodness, knowing that my life has meaning, and that I am continuously held in a gaze of love by God. And as we receive that love, and that into our souls, there's a natural desire to share that with others in a way that we might not be able to articulate, but in a way that we look upon the other person as someone else who's been created in this way and goodness, and that their life has meaning. So I think it begins with just asking the Holy Spirit to transform our vision. And once we do that, God will put people in our lives right away. The world is starving for love. People are starving to be loved for who they are, not what they can do or produce, but simply for who they are. That's a need of the human heart. And if we ask the Lord to allow us to do that, he'll quickly put people in our paths.
It's funny when you say that, though. I actually feel a tinge of nervousness, because I know the Lord does answer prayers. I better be ready to love somebody if I ask him to put someone who needs love in my path.
Right. Well, and the good news is, too, that we don't have to rely on our own strength. We can do it with the Lord wants to do this in us and through us and with us. And he's promised us the Holy Spirit. He's promised to be with us in this work. Yeah. And it's true. Sometimes love is enormously demanding, and it's a great work. And sometimes it's even the most difficult thing is to love the person next to me. I live with my sister, spouses. Those things are very difficult. But we have the promise of God's gift of the Holy Spirit to help us in those things.
888-318-7884. We're talking about being pro-life in the trenches this hour with Sister Maristella, who has never failed when she comes here to talk with us, to fill us with a renewed sense of wanting to be not just people who explain and defend the faith, but people who personally share the faith by loving other people, which whenever we're off that path, we're on the wrong path. I mean, we may be doing the best we can, but the right path is the path of love. And if you'd like to talk about how to get on that path, how to share a love of life, an embrace of life, how to help people come out of the culture of death into a loving embrace of life. We're talking about pro-life in the trenches this hour with our friend Sister Maristella from the Sisters of Life. The number is 888-318-7884. I have kept callers waiting, and I will get to you right after the break because we got to take a quick break. 888-318-7884. Before I send you off to the break, the Words of Eternal Life, Jimmy's really lovely little book that has just come out from Jimmy Akin, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. I think it's a book that can really break through a lot of the noise and the despair, and we'd like to give it to you for free. You just have to go to Catholic.com, and for donors, the book is free. Words of Eternal Life, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. Jimmy Akin's lovely new invitation to come back and be in contact with Jesus after a year in which a lot of us have lost that contact by, in many cases, no fault of our own. You can get it for free over at Catholic.com.
Call us now with your question on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and that means a new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, has dropped. You can check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics, now available every Wednesday at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. Unplanned.
Available at EWTNRC.com and the EWTN app.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Sister Maristella is here with us this hour from the Sisters of Life, and we're talking about being pro-life in the trenches. If you have questions about how to be a fully engaged pro-life person in the trenches, 888-318-7884 is the number. Before I go to callers, let me let you know that sistersoflife.org is their website. You can find out all about the Sisters of Life at sistersoflife.org. And if you are a young woman feeling that call, sistersoflife.org right now. Don't let it pass. You can also find online pregnancy resources, post-abortion healing. And if you are facing a crisis pregnancy and you would like someone to talk to, they have a phone number, 877-777-1277. It's a lot of sevens. Sistersoflife.org. Sister Maristella, thanks again for being with us. Shall we go to the phones?
Sounds good.
Okay. You weren't sure there for a second. I don't know. All right. We're going to the phones. Hunter in North Dakota listening on Real Presence Radio. You're first up. Your question, please, for Sister Maristella.
Hello, Sister Maristella. My question is, how do we do better at encountering our fellow men and women before they end up, say, in a crisis pregnancy? How do we do better to encounter them and encourage, say, a life of virtue instead of what the culture tries to give us?
Sister, do we have? I think we have. Hunter, you broke the system. Sister froze. 888-318-7884 is the number. We got to get Sister... Oh, there we go, Sister Maricel.
Okay, I'm back.
So you heard the... That's okay. I thought you took a nap for a minute. I thought, wow, that's interesting. They really are low-key, these sisters. But did you hear the question or did you need me to repeat it?
Please repeat it. I heard the first part of it.
Hunter in North Dakota was wondering about how to encourage fellow young men and women to resist the culture's ideas and embrace a life of chastity, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a really great question because, and this is what our work a lot right now is on university campuses, working with young men and women to help them. Because the story that the world presents is it doesn't matter what you choose. It doesn't matter what you do. You can do whatever you want with your body. And that has led to so much heartache and sorrow. And so how do we present another vision of life, another way to live, another way? I think so much of it is when Christians are really joyful and they live lives of meaning, I think that overflows and is very compelling in itself. And I think in general, people want their lives to matter. They want to know that they want to make good choices. And so I think it's somehow communicating that in whatever circle of influence you have, whatever it may be, if it's just within your family, teaching your children well, or in your workplace, finding ways to show people that their lives have meaning, that the choices they make matter, that love is between men and women in marriage, married love is meant to be for men and women in marriage. And so I think that just simple ways in our circle of influence can be very powerful and very compelling.
Hunter, how's that?
That's great. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Charlie in Madry, Louisiana, listening on AM 690. Charlie, go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella. Sorry. Now I had a little brain cramp. Go ahead, Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Yes. Am I on the air with you?
You are on the air with Sister. Yes, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think the right to life should wait to test out the new court. My wife doesn't think the court has been tested out either, and they should get a case before the court as soon as possible to reverse Roe v. Wade, also to put prayer back in the schools. If the Supreme Court rules that unborn babies are persons in overturning Roe v. Wade, you heard of the personhood bill, I believe, I'm sure you did, that if the Supreme Court rules unborn babies are persons, then I really believe every pro-abortion law, including state laws, would fall, because on EWTN, a philosopher said, we have a law that protects the lives of persons. Therefore, they must not be persons.
Right. That's Charlie. But you started out by saying we shouldn't wait. Is that what you wanted Sister to comment on? We shouldn't wait for the overturning of Roe v. Wade?
Well, that's one of the things. But I just wanted to call, at a minimum, they should reverse Roe v. Wade. But if they define them as persons, then I think even state pro-abortion laws would fall. And yeah, the sister can comment on that.
No, okay, let's let her do that. Sister, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think, thank you, Charlie. I think that is a very thoughtful comment and question, and I really appreciate that. I'm so glad that there's many Americans like you who believe in the dignity of the human person and each person, born and unborn. Yeah, you know, it's a good, I do hope that Roe v. Wade is overturned, and I do hope for everything you spoke of. But even if the courts do rule in this way, even if the laws do change, it still leaves us to wonder what is happening in the human heart. Yeah. Or have hearts changed? Because that's where culture has really shifted and begins to move. And there's you see real genuine change in the culture. So, yeah, I think even if Roe v. Wade were overturned, there would still be so many men and women who have not yet changed their vision of reality, of understanding the other person or recognizing the dignity of the human person. And then also we have so many people in our culture who've been wounded by the culture of death,
yeah,
who need deep healing, who need to be profoundly healed. And so that's our great work, to be able to do that.
It does worry me sometimes that we, and again, I will confess to myself this, that this idea that we become so focused on reforming the law, especially overturning Roe v. Wade, which would be a great good. I do not deny that at all, that we think mm-hmm. that that's our work. And that's not, that's the beginning maybe of a certain kind mm-hmm. of work. But as you said, the culture has... I would say even if Roe versus Wade were overturned, I would use a kind of analogy. You might think of it as like, you know, a communist country after 50 years of communism. Well, you don't come out of that mm-hmm. and just say, well, we're all better. There's tremendous right. work to do for healing and mm-hmm. help.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're absolutely right. I think just, you know, generations of women who are suffering after abortion, those women need care. And they need to be welcomed into the church with love.
Praise God.
To hear that God loves them, the church loves them. And then young people who've been told, you know, that their bodies, it doesn't matter what they do. That work will take time. And but it's a wonderful work, because there's nothing more powerful than watching Jesus redeem a soul. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing someone who's maybe been dead to sin to be resurrected to new life. It's just a stunning and incredible thing.
Sister Maristella is our guest. She is of the order, the Sisters of Life, where she works in their Denver house. Now, I said a formal naval officer. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I graduated from the, Naval Academy, and then I served in the Navy for 5 years, and then I entered religious life.
I just love that. That's pretty cool. Charlie, thanks very much for the question. I hope that was helpful to you. Let's go to Rochester, New York. Lily, listening on the Station of the Cross, you are up next. Go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
Hi. So I've been a Christian for about a year, and I grew up extremely liberal. My mom is an Episcopalian priest, and my dad is actually an abortion provider. He's an OBGYN, but he performs abortions all the time. And I've only been pro-choice for as long as I've been a Christian, which is a huge shift in my family, because I grew up in the church, quote, but really I grew up in a really, really progressive church. And it's been a huge confusion for my family. And pretty much my question is, how do I lovingly and peacefully, salt lightingly, I think you understand, bring the pro-life view to the table? It's not something my family's used to at all, and it's really confusing to them. And to me, it makes perfect sense now that I know Christ, but to them, it's like blasphemy. And I just need help. I need, you know, encouragement on how to stay steadfast. I haven't shifted on my view just because of them. I've really doubled down, and I love the zeal of the Catholic faith for, you know, the unborn. I've been considering Catholicism for about a month, and I've been attending like at Irenaeus House in the city of Rochester, which has been really special. And I'm going to go to my first Catholic Mass on Sunday as well. And I've been invited to go to our Planned Parenthood to, you know, give out love to those who are considering abortion. But pretty much, it's really scary for me. I mean, I used to be so pro-abortion, and now it's like, makes me sick. And I just want to love my family through that.
God bless you, Lily. You are a delight to listen to you talk. Sister, your response to Lily.
No, first of all, Lily, I just want to say you must have so much courage and that heart of yours to be able to, courage and humility that you're willing to say, you know, I believe these things for so many years, and now I've changed and I see things differently. Because I've met Christ, my life is different, and I see the world and other people differently. I mean, that's amazing. So thank you for sharing that with us. That gives so many of us hope and belief. It increases our faith in the power of Christ and his love for each soul. So I don't know. I mean, with your family, you know, sometimes they say our families are the most difficult to evangelize. No prophet is accepted in his own town or his own place. But I don't think that everyone is willing to listen to someone else's testimony, to just share your experience. Maybe even when, you know, you mentioned that you'll be going to pray outside of an abortion clinic coming up. Something that I could share that was very powerful in my life was the first time I prayed outside of an abortion clinic. It changed the whole experience for me, because I saw that these were women walking in, sometimes being dragged in, very humiliated, very humble, very fearful, very frightened. And that just helped me to understand that what woman was made for, that women actually desire to choose life. It's like innate and part of our being. So to just maybe if you could share some of your experience eventually with your family, very gently and with humility. And I think that's just always a compelling witness.
What do you think, Lily?
Thank you. That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much, sister. Mm-hmm. You've even like given me more courage to do so, because I was very scared to go out to the abortion clinics. But now I feel like, yeah. I mean, that really helped. That really helped. Now I feel like that was what I needed. The Lord, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Lily,
you.
I feel like you are what we needed today. You are just delight.
Yeah.
Check out sistersoflife.org. They've got all kinds of stuff there that will help you continue on your journey, sistersoflife.org. Sister Maristella is our guest from the sistersoflife.org. And we're talking about being pro-life in the trenches. And that's really what Lily is talking about. That's what we mean by pro. I mean, dealing with those who are near you, whether it's in a, I mean, workplaces can be terrifying to be a pro-life person for many people. Certainly here in California, you know, in many of these tech companies, every now and then we'll hear from a pro-life person who works at one of these big tech companies, and it's scary for them. There's a sense of almost you're going against, I don't know, humanity by being a pro-life person.
No, I think you're totally completely right. I've heard that story from many people and in many situations. And but isn't it interesting when someone in the workplace has a baby? There's a sense of joy that people experience.
Right.
And so I don't know, somehow to like tap into that and to highlight that. And maybe in the workplace, that's one of the things that can kind of transform that culture to make it possible for women to have good maternity leave, to celebrate when women are pregnant, to really draw attention to that and to highlight the good that's already there. That can be powerful for people.
Is this something that you do? I mean, because I'm sure you deal with many women who didn't intend to be pregnant. This is not their plan, so to speak. Do you try to help them celebrate that too? I mean, that this is not all bad. A baby's good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Eventually, you know, we can get there.
I see.
Yeah. Because sometimes the first thing is you just have to be with them and for them as they go through the fear, as they go through the grief and sorrow that maybe the plans they had for their life are now dramatically changed. They've been completely interrupted. And it takes a lot of courage to change and to change that view and to move. And it takes time.
Sister Maristella, our guest, you're welcome to call and get in on the conversation, whether you are a pro-life person or not, whether you are a Christian person or not. We are talking about being pro-life in the trenches with one of the sisters who has devoted her life to being pro-life in the trenches with the Sisters of Life. Our number, 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory's for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory's for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Each January, all throughout the secular media, we get a certain narrative about the meaning of the Roe versus Wade decision and about why that's positive and liberating and empowering. And we don't believe that narrative. We believe it's here at Catholic Answers. We believe that the Roe versus Wade decision is one of the worst moments in the history of our country's judicial life, one that must be reversed so that we can get on with the job of at least on the government side, we can get on with the job of building a culture of life. Many people already on with the job of building a culture of life in many other ways, despite the fact that the law has become so unjust in that area. Among the great institutions for doing that is the Sisters of Life. They are wonderful people. They do wonderful work. You can find out all about them at sistersoflife.org. And we have Sister Maristella from the Sisters of Life here with us this hour to talk about being pro-life in the trenches. Not necessarily, we can't all be Supreme Court justices or presidents of the United States or Congress people, but we can all love the person who's near us and try to help build that culture of life with them. Sister, I was just thinking about Lily. We tend to think certain things about who's pro-life, and it might be like the young people will be more pro-choice and the older people will be more pro-life. But there she is as this young person who came to Christ and realized that her parents were wrong about their support for abortion. Do you see this more and more young people kind of realizing, hey, this is not what we've been told that it is?
Absolutely, completely. Yeah, I see many young people on university campuses who, once they begin to understand the meaning of their lives and know God, their vision is really transformed and how they look at other people. I do find that young people are very open to life because in many ways they've lived through or they've suffered the consequences of some of what the Roe v. Wade decision has done. They've lived in families with divorce. Right. They've been able to do whatever they wanted. The culture has told them that. And they know that there's an emptiness in there. They've realized there's an emptiness. And when they're presented with an alternative, a different story, that their life has meaning in God, oh my gosh, it's powerful to watch because they want that. And they know that they're worth more than what the culture has offered.
You're welcome to call and talk with our guest, Sister Maristella, 888-318-7884. Next hour, Stephanie Gray Connors will be here. I'm used to her pre-married name, but Stephanie Gray Connors will be here with us to talk about making pro-life arguments. Up next, a call from Kim in South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Kim, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So my question is, it's a difficult one. How do you lovingly approach even other Catholics who don't believe in the exceptions, rape, incest, for, you know, that abortion should be not allowed for those situations. Actually, just last week, I talked to a fellow Catholic who believes that it should be allowed. So how do we really touch that lovingly without making it seem like a punishment for the victim of those kinds of situations?
Thank you, Kim. Sister Maristella?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Kim. And I think a lot of people think that and many people have asked that question. I can just speak from what I've seen working with women who are pregnant and women who've been sexually violated. And I've seen the outcome of both instances where women who have been raped become pregnant and have chosen abortion. And then also other women who have heroically chosen life. And I can just tell you from my experience of talking with countless women on these issues is those who have an abortion often experience that abortion as a second violation to themselves, as a second violence. And the women who are able, who do choose life, maybe because they've had good supports or have a different vision or the right people were put in their path, what, for whatever reason, they heroically choose life. The life of that child ends up being the most healing thing from that violation. This new and beautiful thing that has come from them ends up transforming the meaning of the past and changing their experience. So I've just seen a number of times when women have chosen life after being sexually violated, and they've been blessed in profound and powerful ways. And those who have not, they suffer. They continue to suffer.
Kim, what do you think? Sorry, sister, go ahead.
No, that's all. Yeah, that's good for them.
Kim?
Beautiful. That was exactly a wonderful way to approach it, so that they are, the truth of the matter is, rather than perpetuating the evil, it is redeemed in some ways.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it, that the redemption that can be brought through of it. And and I've also known children who've grown up and they were conceived in rape. And it's actually very amazing to hear them speak, because I've heard them say things like, the person who did that to my mother, I don't know him, but I know for sure that God is my father.
Wow.
God intervenes in a unique and powerful way in their lives when they're open to it. So, yeah.
Kim, thank you very, very much. We're talking with Sister Maristella from the Sisters of Life. You can find them at sistersoflife.org about being pro-life in the trenches this hour. 888-318-7884 is our number. Ed in Grand Isle, Nebraska, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130, EWTN. You are next. Go ahead, Ed.
Thank you, Sister, for taking my call. Years ago, Father Paul Marks told us that wherever contraception becomes widely used, abortion always follows. And I really believe that to be the case. And I'm wondering, should we be focusing maybe more preeminently on the sin and the evil of contraception? Because it not only fosters abortion, but it seems to predicate a certain libertine lifestyle that I can do whatever I want to do.
Mm. No, I that's a really great question. And you make a very good point that the widespread availability of contraception has led to abortion. I think the statistics and the numbers show that and prove that. I do think it's a great approach. And when women, for sure, what I've seen when women are educated on natural family planning and are taught the way to work with their cycles and their natural cycles, it's very powerful and even ennobling to them. They begin to have greater respect for themselves, and their husbands tend to have greater respect for their wives. It's a beautiful and transforming thing. So I think it's an important place a very important field of work. I don't know that it's like where you can start there with everyone, but when it can be shared and people are open to it, it's a game changer, I think.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate that. Sister Maristella, our guest, we're talking about being pro-life in the trenches. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Not literal. You don't do this in actual trenches. This is metaphorical, correct?
At this point, it's metaphorical. When I was in the Navy,
point.
It might have been more literal. Yeah.
Kelly in Saskatchewan, Canada, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Glad to have you, Kelly. Go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
Thank you, and thanks for taking my call.
Happy to.
It's something that hits close to my heart. But, Sister, I wonder if you've encountered people like me. I'm 60, and I regret my choice to sterilize myself when I was younger. I became Catholic 5 years later. But now, my husband and I, he recently became Catholic, so, please God, there's some beautiful things happened in our lives. But especially in my career, there are people, most people have children or grandchildren, even if they're pro-abortion. And we're kind of in the boat where we're pro-life with regrets, and it's a cross to carry. And, I didn't have all the information when I was younger, and there were certain family circumstances that contributed, when you're young and you don't know everything. I understand that. But it is, as you get older, it's very hard. And I would really, I wish, I hear people talking about it like it's a badge of honor that they're not having children. They're such an inconvenience, and they're in their 30s and 40s. And I want to get hold of them because I love them, and I want to say, you're going to regret this. I know you will. You know, you may not understand what I'm saying now, but there will be an emptiness. You know, God has filled that emptiness, you know, for us and our friends and family with children. But boy, I think there's people out there that don't understand what they're in for when they close themselves off like that.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. Sister?
Oh, Kelly, no, thank you, first of all, for being so open and for sharing that. And for, I just want to really reverence that, because reverence everything you shared, because as you said, it's a great sorrow in your heart, and that you know that God has brought you to the light and to the truth. And so thank you for your humility and sharing it with us. And also, I guess I just want to say, like, there's something very beautiful in how you shared it too, that it shows that you actually have such a maternal heart, that you have this goodness in you, that and a love for life and an appreciation for life. And so I would just encourage you and invite you to consider ways that you might be able to spiritually mother people around you. Your love is still meant to be very fruitful. The ways that you can, your spiritual maternity continue to grow, and you can have more spiritual children. And that being said, maybe when you do encounter a young woman in her 30s or 40s or 20s or whatever it is that sees children as a nuisance, if maybe there's a gentle way, without disclosing anything too personal, you could say, you know, I wasn't able to have children, but at this point in my life, I can look back and I see things differently. I mean, that testimony, that sensitive way of sharing it could have a great impact on another young woman. And in that way, you may be a spiritual mother to this woman and potentially to her child. So,
what do you think, Kelly?
I think, thank you for saying that to me about, it's so funny to hear I have a maternal heart. So that's a great comfort, and thank you for that. And yes, I will try in my way. Sometimes we got to be courageous, right? And speak up. So maybe that's, I feel like God's calling me in some way to do something. So you've just reinforced that. And thank you so much for listening to me and for reverencing my story, as you say. I really, really appreciate it. I feel like I'm heard, and it helps. And it helps make me feel hopeful and courageous. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, God bless you. And I'll be praying for you that God will just magnify your love and show you how you have a maternal heart and that you are meant to be a spiritual mother to many.
Kelly, God bless you, and thank you so much for the call. You're always welcome to call again. We love hearing from people from Saskatchewan, Canada, most particularly because I get to say Saskatchewan, Canada. But we have to take a break. We will do that right now and be back with more on Being Pro-Life in the Trenches with Sister Maristella from the Sisters of Life.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I had called in last spring about talking to my parents and I was going to convert to the church and how to talk to them. They were not happy at all, but I was confirmed to the church at the Easter Vigil service, and we really don't talk about the topic, but our relationship is still intact, so that's a good thing. Just wanted to say thank you, and I still listen every day because I always learn something new.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I told you this was going to be a good Wednesday show. Finally, we've put together a really good Wednesday show. Second hour, Stephanie Gray Connors is going to be here with us and talk about how to make precise and helpful pro-life arguments. This hour, we're talking with our friend, Sister Stella. I always want to say Stella Maris. I don't know why, Sister. I get it backwards. I apologize.
It's okay. It means the same forward and backwards in Latin. And there's a lot of, you're on the West Coast, a lot of West Coast churches, Stella Maris, Maristella.
That's the problem is because I know a Stella Maris church and I'm stuck in it. Sister Maristella from the Sisters of Life here. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Before I go back to the phones, however, I do have to tell you this. We got a cool thing going on for Lent here, and Lent is coming up on us in a few weeks. And we're going to be giving or sending out an apologetics lesson each day of Lent, and you can sign up for that. You can just sign up and get this in your email inbox and help you kind of make progress in reflecting on your Catholic faith throughout the season of Lent. You can get that series by just going to catholic.com or shop.catholic.com, and there'll be a little spot where you can sign up, put your email in, and you will get your daily apologetics lesson all throughout Lent. Again, our number 888-318-7884. Sister Maristella, our guest up next is Noah in Westmont, Illinois, watching on YouTube Live. Noah, please go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. So I had heard a sermon lately that was speaking of a newer argument for abortion that has been recently promoted by a lot of people. And the argument was saying that it was acknowledging the fact that human life is human life at the instant of conception, but justifying it by saying that it doesn't matter if it's human life. Human life just has different values at different times. Like if it's young, it doesn't really matter essentially. So we often, you know, argue that, it is human life when it's at the instant of conception, but she was acknowledging that, and I was not sure how to respond to that the best way. I was kind of trying to formulate that. I was wondering if you might be able to help.
Yeah, sure. It sounds like someone willing to admit the obvious science that a baby is a baby, that this is a human, but saying human life doesn't have value the same. It doesn't have the same value at every stage. How do you deal with that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. It's, I suppose I would fundamentally just disagree with that, but I would kind of try and maybe if someone presented that argument, I would really want to sit with them and see why they believe that. And to question, it sounds like that argument is coming from a vision of the human person that says people have meaning and value based on what they can do or produce. But we know that's not true. and so to like get to the heart of the issue that people were created by God with inherent dignity that cannot be taken away. And that remains until the end. Some people who are the most transforming in our culture I've seen in families are those who are handicapped or weak or vulnerable. In a very mysterious way, their presence within a family has an immeasurable effect that has the power to transform. So I think it's having a different vision of suffering, a different vision of life and of reality, actually.
Thanks, Noah. Thanks very much. I hope that's helpful for you. Of course, this always happens. You got a few minutes left with Sister Maristella, and I think it's now 1 million people on the phones. So let's go to Paige in Lawton, Oklahoma, listening on KOEG. Paige, go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
Hi, Sister. Thanks for taking the call. I would like to ask the question about how does one witness to the pro-life argument, if for lack of a better word, argument, when your history or your past does not reflect a pro-life view?
Yeah.
In other words, my history is not a good example.
Mm-hmm. No, well, first of all, thanks for your question and thanks for sharing that. And yeah, your humility in recognizing that maybe you didn't always believe what you do now or live the way that the good news is that we're all sinners. Each one of us has not lived the pro-life message perfectly. So to have that beginning and that somehow something's happened in your life that has changed the way you view yourself and view others, I think you have a very important role in the pro-life movement. I think that's a very powerful witness to share that the way that your heart has changed, your vision has changed, your life has changed. That to me is really impressive. I would want to hear from you. I would want to hear what happened in your life to make that change. So, and to even admit in humility that you didn't always live that way, and maybe what some of the obstructions were, or how you were informed incorrectly as in your younger days. But I think you have a very important and essential role in the pro-life movement.
Okay, Paige.
Oh, thank you. I really didn't think I did. I have tried to put forth the arguments that the life in the womb is a human life, and the problem is that then why did I have the history that I have, and how can you say that when you weren't always that way? And yes, I know that people change, but it's very difficult to witness when you are complicit, so to speak.
Well, if I may, I want to interrupt what Sister had to say, but I'm thinking of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who was an abortionist who became just one of the leading pro-life voices because he was able to say, I changed. Mm-hmm. Sister, did you want to add anything else?
Yeah, and I was just going to say Dr. Bernard Nathanson is a great example. I think of so many women who've had abortions who now witness to the sacredness of human life. I'm thinking of St. Paul himself was a great convert. You know, he was persecuting Christians and his life was transformed. Much of the New Testament is his writings. So I think God works where sin, the Lord says, St. Paul says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So you have a choice set of blessings coming your way, and to be open to those and to receive those and have confidence in God's work in you and through you.
Thanks, Paige. I got to keep moving because lots of folks on the line. Cheryl in Canton, Massachusetts, you are up next. Cheryl, go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
Hello. Yes, it's so interesting. I just got in my car and heard this discussion going on. And just last week, I wrote a letter. I'm in the process of writing a letter that I plan on sending to college newspapers. And it comes about, and it's pro-life. And with COVID, in my neighborhood, I see these young adults who were living in New York or different places who've come back home to live with their parents temporarily. And they've come with their dogs. They're returning to their bedrooms. These are women and men that are in their 20s and 30s. And what I'm saying to these younger kids that are in college right now is don't be sold a bill of goods like your predecessors were, that you shouldn't have children, because you will end up being so lonely in life and miss out on so much. And I referenced that song the Beatles wrote so many years ago, Eleanor Rigby, All the Lonely People, Where Do They All Come From? And that's what I'm seeing with these children. Instead of going off and having families that they can return to and build a family with and all that brings, they're back in their childhood bedrooms alone without any special person to live with and to create a family. And it's tragic.
It does feel like a giant tragedy unfolding all across our society, where people have been convinced that the children are a problem in life to be avoided.
Mm.
Oh, sorry, Cheryl. I think we got crossed up. Go ahead, Sister. You were going to say something?
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right that people, I think part of it comes down to this idea of suffering. Because whenever you love a child or you bring a child into the world, while it's a great gift and a great joy, there's also sacrifice and suffering that's involved. And our world doesn't always value suffering or believe that it has meaning, but we know that John Paul II said it so well, that suffering unleashes love. And so I salute you. I think it's wonderful that you want to write to young people to tell them, to give them a different understanding, to help them to know that life is good and that
right.
Their love is powerful, and they can do something more than care for their dogs. They can bring other people into the world who will make it a more beautiful place.
Cheryl, thanks. One more. I think we can get to Rochelle in Oregon listening on Modern Day Radio. Rochelle, you are going to have to be quick with your question, though, if you would like an answer from Sister Maristella.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. Can you guys hear me?
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll try to be quick. My question is personal for me. I'm a new Catholic, but I think this might relate to other women. I take birth control because of medical reasons, and I've had trouble with anemia, and I am interested in natural family planning. However, what kind of advice could you guys give for women that don't have a regular cycle, and how can they deal with that, or what kind of material or book could they go to get good information about this?
Okay, because that makes natural family planning harder, I would imagine. But sister, do you know resources?
Yeah, I know. I do. I'm familiar with the ones in our area, but perhaps you might be able to find a physician in your area. And here in Denver, we have Bella Natural Women's Health. And they actually really work with many young women many women in general who are in your circumstances who've been told they must be on contraception for some underlying issue. And what these really good pro-life doctors do is rather than kind of coding it with birth control and contraception, they try to discover what the underlying issue is and really find actual healing rather than just prescribing. So I hope that you maybe could find a physician who might be willing to work with you to find alternatives to caring for your needs, because your body is something sacred, and it sounds like you want to choose life and have life and have more children. And so I pray that you receive really good, proper care that reverences the dignity of your body.
If you want to email us at radio@catholic.com, Rochelle, we'll try to get you some resources as well, because we have Culture of Life Family Services right here in San Diego. And as Sister was saying, there are doctors who make this a priority of working with a woman's body instead of doing battle with a woman's body all the time. Radio@catholic.com. Send us an email. We'll get you as many resources as we can. Sister Maristella from the Sisters of Life, thank you so much.
Good to be with you.
It's always great to have you here. You can find out more about what Sister Maristella and her fellow sisters do at sistersoflife.org. Sistersoflife.org. Coming up next, Stephanie Gray Connors. We're going to talk about making precise pro-life arguments.